just won a tremendous victory. And obviously there are more steps to take, but this will probably prove to have been the critical one. And it's just an enormous step for jobs and more economic hope in this state. I wish I could tell you I thought there's anything we'll ever be able to do as a state government that will come close in terms of its positive impact on our state's future. But right now I'm not sure what that would be. But I'm very, very grateful, obviously, to those who made it possible.
Did you listen or watch any of the debate?
Honestly, I didn't. I've had several public appearances today and did not take advantage of that opportunity.
As the bill goes forward, have you got any ideas of any changes you want to make to it, or is it going forward as is?
Well, I think it's a good bill as is. We welcomed some changes. I think some good ones were made that by the House Republicans. You know, choosing to share part of the dividend as a dividend from this bonanza with the motorists of the seven counties, I think was their call to make, and it's a good idea. So there may be others like that. The prize here is so enormous that I've always said that we'd welcome good ideas, and we'd be flexible to folks from either side, and that might be the case in the next round.
Democrats said that you think you're smarter than most of you, and that you have your political base in a city of corruption. Is this getting too personal?
You know, all these personal attacks, I don't understand. I'm not going to – I'd be kidding you if I said it. It's fun to listen to them. But this is such a right thing to do. This is such a huge thing to do for the betterment of our state that I really think those things are fairly small and bearable compared to the great step forward that we've been able to take for our kids' future.
The sponsors of the bill had difficulty answering questions about the contract between the operator and the state. Is there a need for more public education?
Oh, I think
more education and legislation.
May well be. And certainly there's a need for more public understanding. Many people have been told some things that are completely untrue. And many folks, and this is understandable, have yet to absorb the enormity of the benefit of our being able to spend $4 billion to put people to work in this state. And so most, I think a lot of folks don't yet understand the huge upside here. So of course there's a need to keep talking with our fellow citizens about that. And over the course of time, I think they'll, as they see these things come into being, roads and bridges and projects that we would never have seen otherwise, I think they'll come to feel as excited about it as I do.
Democrats said that they accused Republican lawmakers of not listening to their constituents, but just obeying you.
I think they followed their conscience in the best interest of this state. You know, there's nobody I admire more, frankly, than an office holder who is willing to do what is right, even if it's not clear that it's popular at the moment. Now, this, in the fullness of time, is going to be a very popular decision. It will be seen as one of the wisest things any state ever did. It already is in other places where people are scrambling to imitate it. But sometimes the course of statesmanship is to do decisively what is right and then help one's fellow citizens to understand why you did.
You have touted the $4.4 billion of improvements, and one representative pointed out that that number is actually nowhere in the contract, and how do we know for sure they'll give that to us in response to that?
Well, my response is that they have to maintain standards as good or better than today. And that's going to require a lot of money. It might be more than that for all I know over that course of time. It is just an estimate. The contract is patterned after Mayor Daley's in Chicago, and then we added things that that we could think of. But as I keep pointing out to people, that's really our second line of defense. Our first line of defense is that these folks are good at what they do, and they only recover their money if they run a great road that people gladly use.
It was suggested that those lawmakers in northern Indiana were able to win concessions, essentially, to to help get their support for the Indiana toll road portion, but that that same process might not be available for those in the I-69 process, where I-69 to be privatized and leased out as a toll road in a similar manner. Do you have any plans in the works that if that process was to happen for I-69, that lawmakers might be able to work out things, let's say, toll freezes, something of that nature?
Oh, absolutely. The difference with any future P3, as they say, arrangement would be that we'll be able to confer in advance about what might be in the request for proposal and what an agreement might look like. And I look forward to that if and when, for instance, that we seek to see if there's a partner available for I-69.
I'm sorry, Governor, I don't think I understood your answer to Nikki's question about the $4.4 billion. If it's not in the agreement, I mean, where did that number come from, and have they actually agreed?
No, that's their projection. They might need to spend more. The point is what they're bound to do, and what matters most to us, of course, in Indiana, is that become a greater road than today, and that they meet certain standards. For instance, they are bound to put technology in that the state has not been able to put in. They are bound to maintain traffic flow standards equal to or greater than today's. And as more vehicles over the years come on the road, they will have to do that. They don't know for sure what it'll cost. And I don't care. That's their problem. What I care about is the result. Having a road that flows well and that serves motorists well. We've prevented them, of course, from raising tolls more than a very small amount in the future, so they don't have that option.
But the $4.4 billion is not a number that's written down somewhere that they will have when this, if this all happens. There won't be a piece of paper they've signed that has $4.4 billion. That's just their estimate of what they plan to do.
That's correct. To do what they're bound to do might take $5.4 billion. If they're good at it and what they do, maybe it'll take less than 4.4. But what matters most, really the only thing that matters to us, is the result.
Governor, actually I'm told that it is in their bid response, which is posted online.
Do they sign that? I mean, but it's not in the contract.
Is that bound?
It's in their bid, that the response that they provided to the state along with the 3.8.
But I think we ought to go check. Their question is, are they legally bound to a number? And I don't think they're legally bound to a number. They're legally bound to standards, and very, very high ones. If I will check it for you, but I'm pretty sure that's the right
one
way.
One point that was made in the debate is, even on those things that they're legally bound to do, the remedy is what I think Wynne Moses called an economic death sentence, the idea of taking the road back and keeping the money. What do we do short of that to make sure that they do meet the standards from the broad down to mundane?
We inspect every paragraph and every requirement. We test, we measure, same thing we do with any state contract, and hold them accountable.
How do we hold them accountable, though? His point was that aside from taking it back, we can go to mediation and arbitration, but they're not allowed to award punitive damages. So, I mean, what do we get if we hold them accountable?
Well, we get a result, and it's the result that that we should all care most about.
For the average person who may encounter a problem driving along the road, whatever it is, government, who are they going to call?
I'm sure there'll be a customer service line. And at the other end of that line will be somebody whose job depends on pleasing the customers. You know, I think we have good people working at the toll road, but government is a monopoly. And monopolies don't take good care of their customers. And we have every reason to believe that these folks, whose only chance, again, of recovering this very large investment is to make the motorists on that road very satisfied, are going to break their necks to do that.
Any NDOT goals, and, you know, I can call NDOT if I'm not getting
that. Absolutely. You know, so much of state government now, the whole Medicaid program, for instance, is run, the state oversees contractors. And we will always have a role, and a very aggressive one, in making sure that any contractor, and whatever service they're providing for the people of Indiana is being monitored, measured, scrutinized, met with, and held accountable. All right.
On a slightly different subject, sorry, just one question.
Yeah, sure.
Dr. Reed came out today against the spring fall ISTEP bill on the basis of costs. She said it, we should deal with it at roundtable and board of ed. What did you think about that?
Well, factually, we know there's not going to be any increased cost, and this has been a continuing, I think, source of confusion. But you can talk to Dave Shane, but both the current vendor and someone who would like to compete for it have assured that they would do this at no increased cost. So we have a respectful disagreement, I guess, about the timing of the test, but whatever the reasons would be, it's not money. Whatever the reasons for leaving it in the fall. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.